Good morning. Wow, it's a beautiful day, just like Steve was mentioning. The weather just makes things more brighter and happier and gets you up out of bed. When it's dark, I don't like getting out of bed, especially these early mornings and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we're here. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for those who have lended a helping hand in one way or another, or just come by and visit. We had some visitors, actually, which was very, very nice as well, just to see you people and stuff like that, to get to know you more. We're still to get to know faces, and so bear with us as we might say the wrong name once in a while. Sometimes I have to try to remember what my name is in the morning, or even where I am. I get up sometimes in the morning, I'm going, where am I? So that's just a way it is right now. But we praise the Lord for safety and travels, coming all the way here in two cars. And also the truck getting here on Friday. Yes, Friday. And unloading us there. And that was a fun job. And we're still trying to fit some stuff upstairs because it's a little bit too short for our box springs, so we're dealing with that as well. So praise the Lord for his goodness. We do rejoice in that. Yes, today we're going to be back in Colossians, and we're going to kind of take a step back a little bit because I went forward a little bit, but I wanted to come back because this is all very important for the church, and what the church is, and what moves the church, what drives the church. And today we're going to be taking a look at that once I get my personal PowerPoint. One of these days I'm going to have some PowerPoints up here, but right now I have my personal PowerPoint, so don't be jealous of me while I look down at this. So we're looking at these things. And, there is a story of this one lady. She was a blogger. She went on the internet, did a lot of that, but she was taking some time off now because I guess she just needed rest. At that time, during that rest period, she got a real urgent Facebook post from one of her friends, and she opened it up and looked at it, and she saw this lone teenage boy standing by the flagpole at a school, and she was going, well, she was kind of looking a little bit closer, and she finally got a real good look and was like, whoa, that's my boy. That's my boy at the flagpole. At the flagpole, it's an event. I don't know if they still do it or not, but they still do it, as you recall. Every year, what they say every year, the students come together at the flagpole and they pray for their school, friends, family, country, community. That, so it's a real good thing. But her son was standing there all alone, by himself, at the flagpole to pray. So what would give that young man that courage to do that? It's okay, when you go as a group, it's kind of easy to do, isn't it? Kind of that group syndrome, you just, whatever they're doing, I can do, and everybody's kind of anonymity, Lord, you just don't know, who's what, there might be too many people to kind of name some of these people or whatever, but he was there alone. So what gave him the courage? And 1 Corinthians is something I pray for my boys quite often too. In 1 Corinthians, Paul exhorts this to all believers, to each one of us. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. So what drives the Christian to do this? What is that driving force? Actually, as I gave the title earlier in the week, I kind of changed the title to Hope, the Driving Force, because I really feel it's a driving force of the church, of Christians. If you look at the history of the church over 2,000 years, started little, right? Started with Jesus and these 12, riffraff, people, followers of his, and others coming behind, and a weak thing could be stomped out easy by the Roman Empire, which was a very, very strong, powerful, tyrannical type empire, but it survived, and it grew, It seems like, as you look at the history of the church, it seems like the more it's persecuted, the more it grows, the more that gospel spreads. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? You know, and you think about these people who are sent to these, you know, to these other places. Sometimes it's being sent to a local city, or sometimes it's being sent to just another country. You know, there's a driving force that moves us to go places where the language is different, the culture is different, the geography is different, the climate is different, all that. But they go because there's something driving and moving them. They have to go. So what causes us as Christians to do that, to go? Sometimes it's just going across the street, you know, or down to a local nursing home or hospital or school or just a friend. You know, what moves us? What's behind all that energy that causes people to say no to themselves, even people where they take their families? Like, if you ever read the story of Dr. Livingstone going to Africa, he went through a lot of hardship. You know, what causes people to just want to do that, to almost pretty much like seeking to get persecuted, seeking to have a rough time, to have their lives risked, no more comforts? Well, there's something, energy, and it gives us that strong determination to go forth, and that is that hope that we have in Christ. And today we're going to be looking at the hope and what causes a Christian to be so resilient from day one when Christ was leading his disciples. And to when he ascended into heaven and left them behind, but the Holy Spirit came upon them and moved them. There's that hope. And we're going to look at what hope is today. We're going to look at what causes Christians to have such a confident hope. Where does that come from? And what does hope look like? We're going to be looking at those things today. So when we look at the scripture that we're reading here, verses 3 to 5, it says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." So this is Paul praying for the Colossians of the church there. And because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. So they heard about it. So it's a very public thing. So when you're doing things that are displaying your faith, or you're acting, doing things in acts of love, you know, it's even though you might try to hide it, you know, we're kind of, you know, God commands us sometimes, you know, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, or you go to your closet and pray and things. But even when you're doing that, it gets heard about. You know, love and faith are very public. Oops, excuse me. Very public things that happen that we can see and hear about. And as you keep on going further in that, it says, "The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth." So this faith and love spring from hope. So that hope is kind of like a foundation, it seems like, where the love and the faith just kind of grow out of. Without that hope, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to have the faith and a desire to love, because love is an action that we're taking, and faith is also putting our beliefs in action. So this hope comes up from being things that are stored up for us in heaven. So there's where the hope has come from, things stored in heaven. You ever heard about, you know, some people are they showed a lot of love and showed a lot of patience, you know, maybe they're through their jobs or because of family or just because their lives are just filled with a lot of crisis and a lot of issues. And they just say, "Because of your faithfulness, I can just see a crown you know, on your head. I can see treasures being built up for you in heaven. You know, that's our hope, that we have those treasures in heaven waiting for us as we serve the Lord here, as we follow him, as we obey his word and be a blessing to others. We're storing things in heaven. You know, some people think there might be a little cha-ching, you know, each time you're doing something good, you know, cha-ching. I'm not sure about that. You know, something, another jewel gets added. All I know is that there's a great treasure for us in heaven, waiting for those who are faithful and true to his word. And that gospel message. Hebrews 1, we all probably all know Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? That now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith and hope are very, very close, very, very similar. And some people, I kind of like what this one person said. They said, hope is faith in seed form. So it's kind of like, you know, you're going out there and you're planting a seed to a tree or a flower. Well, that's that hope. And that faith just springs up from there, from that hope that we have, because there's a sure foundation. That hope is a sure foundation for us, where the faith can grow and that love just comes out and blossoms into something very beautiful. You know, I still remember being I might have been a teenager, maybe a little bit, maybe around 12 years old, and I was going to church, and we had this event where we had these balloons filled with helium. I don't know if you ever done that here. And we would write a verse, sometimes a blessing on it or a verse from the Bible on a card and attach it to these balloons. And we just all together just let it go, you know, it's just a fun event, you know, see where is it going? We don't know where it's going to go. In California, you just never know where the balloon's going to go, in the ocean or up in the mountains or something like that. And, you know, but your hope and expectation is that somebody's going to get it at the other end. It's going to fall. It's going to finally deflate or get popped or something, and it's going to fall in their backyard or whatever, and they're going to, you know, you look at it and, you know, I see this card of blessing and the address to send back, you know, hey, we got your message. You know, so that was kind of a fun thing. And I still remember, you know, letting that go. And I can't remember how long it was. It seems like it might have been a little while. But then I got something back in the mail, and somebody about 60 miles away from where I let it go got my card, you know, and that just filled me with that joy. And I went, whoa, somebody actually responded. You know, there's hope given and hope received there. It was a real blessing. I still remember it today. So when we're looking at hope, we have to kind of define what it is. And oops, I might have went a little bit further than I thought there. Excuse me here. Let me get back to that. That's one thing about working with this. Sometimes you get led astray. My PowerPoint goes astray on me sometimes. So we're going to compare now, because there's other hope too. There's worldly hope, all right? Now we look at hope for a Christian is something that is confident of the expectation. We just feel that, you know, we have assurance that it's going to happen, you know, because there's something more behind it, you know. But when you look at the definition, just a basic worldly definition of hope, it says it is defined as an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events or circumstances in one's life. So it's an optimistic state of mind that we have. I can see that, you know, always trying to keep things positive, try to keep that hope up. But the thing that where it starts to kind of fall apart a little bit is that the expectations of positive outcomes on respect of events and circumstances. Well, who has got control of those events and circumstances? Well, I don't know about you, I know when I was growing up, sports, and even now, sports are kind of big, and I always have hope that my team's going to win a championship. But I tell you something, there's many, many times I have been, my balloon was popped. My balloon of hope, oh, the Dodgers are going to do it this year, and then all of a sudden, oh, they lose. Oh, pop. Right there, there's, you know, it just hurts, you know, that hope just got, you know, blown away. That's it. Oh, maybe there's next year, you know, or something like that. But there, you know, whenever we place our hopes in things of the world, like the government or people, you know, you might have a favorite person, you know, even maybe a well-known evangelist or somebody that's your favorite musician or book writer or whatever, and then something happens, and you know, in their lives that just, you know, you go, oh, I thought this guy was right on, but oh, you know, your hope, your balloon just gets deflated. You know, you just go, oh. Have you ever held a balloon and without tying it up and just kind of letting the air out, you know, it gives that great sound, or if you let it go. You know, that's what the hope, I feel like, when we put our hope and trust in this world or other people or systems in this world, it's not very sure thing. But one thing, as Christians, we don't have to go through that, because we do have a sure thing, because the hope comes from God. He is the hope of glory, and He is sovereign, because that His sovereignty, as we put our hope and trust in Him, all things are possible. So when He puts something in our hearts and that we can hope for and we're assured of, we know that He's able to carry it out. And that's where that something for us as Christians to remember. You know, one thing for hope in this world, if you haven't ever, you've probably seen it quite a bit. I know we have, traveling around the world or in a lot of places, it's called hopelessness. There's a lot of hopelessness out there, people without hope, because they have relied upon the world, or maybe because just the circumstances they are born in. You know, they're born under a bridge. I know in Thailand, a lot of people are, you know, they live in these tin shacks under bridges, by the klongs, by the canals, dirty canals. You know, and living in makeshift wooden shacks and things like that. Just, you know, they were born into that. And so, you know, it's easy to be hopeless. They are some of the kindest people you'll ever meet, which is amazing to me, even today, how kind and how generous and giving they are. But their circumstances don't lend for a lot of hope for them. So they live in a world of darkness. Hopelessness is a very powerful emotion that can really cause us problems. I don't know if you ever felt hopeless in your life. I know I have. And I feel like there's just no power. I feel incapable. I feel meaningless. I feel directionless. You know, I feel like giving up. My perception of the world becomes skewed. You know, I just don't see it in a bright colors anymore. It's dark. I don't think much of myself, and I certainly don't think much of you. Reckless behavior starts occurring because you just don't care what your outcome is. That's what hopelessness is. But we can combat that. That is our job. A guy named Desmond Tutu, I think you probably heard of his name before, he said this about hope. He says, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. Something for us to remember as well. That light. We always talk about that light at the end of the tunnel, right? So that's something we have to focus upon. But there's more to that as well. So what causes the Christians to have this confident hope? Well, first of all, it relies upon understanding God's promises. If you look further here in that passage that we were reading from verse 6, it says that has come to you. Oh, let me go back a little bit here. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you have heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. So understanding God's promises, knowing that God has promises that he's given us, and understanding them is very important for us to have a confident hope that we can be assured of that's going to happen. And one thing here, it says, this hope that we have is so precious to us when we look at, remember last week we were talking about this, as you go forth, like in when it goes from verses 10 on down, it talk about bearing fruit and being strengthened, and what God did for us, right? He qualified us. He qualified us to be have a part of the inheritance with the saints, with other Christians in heaven. That is our hope. That's part of it. God delivered us. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. He transferred us into that kingdom of the Son, the one he loves, right? That in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All that is what our hope is focused on. It's our foundation. Without that, our hope is fleeting. Our hope has really no assurance, no strength. Because when you look, there, somebody counted all the passages in the Bible with God's promises, and they came up with this number. I don't know. This is what they came up with. 3,573 promises in the Bible. All right? You know what's really good to know? Most of those have already been fulfilled. God is true to all of his promises, all of them. He will fulfill. There's a few more that are coming that we're waiting for, like Christ's return, you know, and for us to meet the others who have gone before us in the sky. You know, we were talking about Thessalonians today. That's one of the better scriptures talking about Christ's coming. You know, that's the hope of the Christian. If we didn't have that hope, we would not have power. We wouldn't be able to have that zeal, that determination to move us going across the ocean to another land, another culture. We wouldn't be able to go to across the street to a neighbor who needs, you know, who is somebody who is hopeless, not a very nice person, maybe even to visit. But this hope that we have, because we know that we already have this inheritance, this wonderful reward for us, it becomes something like just something that drives us, that gives us an energy and just a freedom to let go of that, like the balloons I released when I was a kid, you know, that freedom just to fly in air, fly it, and just be a blessing wherever God sends me, wherever he has me go. Because I already have that hope. Nobody can take it away from me. You know, the hope is I'm in Christ's hands. Nobody can take me out of his hand. You know, that hope just gives me that freedom to serve, to love, to pray, to go to the flagpole all by myself, and to be a blessing. And the same thing for all of us. You know, that hope, what are we waiting for? We got it already. We already have the championship. We have it already. We have this energy called the Holy Spirit moving us, you know, with that hope that's given to us to have us go. So all these are blessings, these promises. Very special. That's something that we as Christians have and we can be assured of in our lives. I remember, I don't know if you ever watched the series, The Lord of the Rings, and they have the trilogy. And the last one, I think it was called The Coming of the King. And there was a scene, a battle scene, and this, I forget, Mariathirith or whatever, this thing that looked like a big boat. And Gandalf and Pippin were fighting for their lives with all the other good guys, you know, against the trolls and the orcs and the Dark Lord. And they were losing. It was looking pretty bad. And all of that craziness and that scene, all the noise and all the people fighting and all that stuff, Gandalf had a little quiet time with Pippin. And Pippin was afraid, you know, we're going to die. You know, he was really afraid. But Gandalf said, you know, there's something more. There's something more beyond that. You know, that death, it's not the end. He says, it's just another pathway. And then he describes what, because he died at another, I think, at the first in the Lord of the Rings, the first one. He died and he's fighting this big monster, the Balrog, I think it was called. But he came back, you know, to help him out. You know, this is very written by a Christian man. But he saw this light, a beautiful light, a beautiful white sea and a shore, and beyond that, a green, beautiful green land, he told Pippin. And Pippin's eyes just lit up, and he said, there's a wonderful sunrise. And Pippin went, whoa, it's really not all that bad, is it? And Gandalf says, no. No, it isn't. You know, I think death causes a lot of us to, you know, our hope is, oh, we want to go, be free like the balloon. But we're afraid as we're going free like the balloon, we're going to get popped or deflated, you know, and death is right there. That's, I have to admit, you know, that for me or what I've seen, you know, death is something that causes a lot of people to lose hope or it stops them on the track from being free to really serve, to follow what God has for them. But as Gandalf described it, it's not all that bad. Because we have this hope, this treasure, this wonderful King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is waiting for us. This great banquet table that we're going to sit at with all the others that have gone before us, it really isn't all that bad. That's why these people can go across overseas into these jungles with this message of the gospel, to spread it, like even what Paul's saying. You know, in those times, there wasn't a lot of safety in those times. There wasn't no mask wearing, people. Life was risky. All right? Death was on every knock of the door. But they went. They went. God drove them, moved them, with this hope that they want to give other people hope because they're hopeless. So they were told and they moved and obeyed what God had for them, and they came with this hope of Christ's message of good news. You know, there's bad news. You know what the bad news is? Do you know what it is? We can't get to heaven by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Sorry, there's millions of people, billions of people trying to do that. Sorry, there's only one way. And that good news is Jesus went before us and prepared the way for us. He became the bridge between us and God the Father, that we can come before Him. That's what we have. So that hope, that message of hope that we can bring to others, it's very precious, and it drives us. It drives people to go to the flagpoles, to stand firm in the faith, to pray. You know, there's a passage here in Isaiah 52. It says this: how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. That's us. We have that, people. We have that, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have that. We are these people on the mountains. How beautiful your feet are. Have you looked? My feet aren't all that beautiful, but it's the good news. that we bring that makes it so beautiful. It's going, the people going from wherever they had to leave, family, jobs, whatever, but they had to leave their own culture, their own language, their comfort of their home to go and deliver this hope. That is what a Christian is. So what does this hope look like? Well, you can look at this guy named Epaphras. Hope drove him. He must have heard a message from Paul in some city, most likely Ephesus, and it just, that hope filled his hopeless heart. And he could not hold it back. And he felt free to go and spread the gospel to other people. He went to Colossae. He went to this tri-city area of Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. And the church most likely he planted was there in Colossae. But he also went to the others too. So you read, like if you went to chapter 4, you can see a little bit more too of what he did and what mentioned there of Colossians. A faithful servant, driven by the hope of Christ to go and show them that there is hope in this world. And in that name, that hope is in the name of Christ Jesus and all he's done for us. He has zeal. He has that the faith to go forth, that love, Lord, that comes from that seed of hope, where his balloon is filled up, not with pride, not with just worldly knowledge, but with hope of Christ and all the blessings in that. And he can go forth and just move and deliver the good news. He has zeal. He struggles for the church, it says there in chapter 4 and verses 12 to 13. He struggles in prayer for them with all of his energy. He loves the church. Hope changed him from somebody who was hopeless to somebody who goes and spreads the message of hope. Excuse me. Another guy named Onesimus, you might read about him in another book called Philemon. This guy, his name actually meant profitable or helpful. Well, without Christ, without the hope, he wasn't. He was useless. He was worthless. Actually, he was very unprofitable because he robbed his master and ran away. He ran away. Oh, he ran so far, he met Paul in the prison in Rome. And that's where he received the hope of Christ, that message, that gospel message. Even from the prison, the gospel message of hope goes forth and blesses. And it turned his life around. Now he lived up to it in his name. He became profitable. He became useful. His whole life was transformed. The spotlight of forgiveness of and reconciliation was upon him. His life just breathed it. And he was becoming a faithful follower. As Onesimus, worthless, robber, bad guy, turned into somebody with hope to deliver the good news, to be an obedient servant unto Christ. Another guy he mentioned in chapter 4 there is Archippus. Archippus, they say that he might have been a brother of Philemon, who was the master of Onesimus. So there's all these little family connections right there. And he was sitting kind of pretty, but it looks like he was supposed to be a pastor of one of the churches in that area. They're not quite sure. But if you look at this in chapter 4 there, there's a warning that Paul wrote to Archippus. He said, hey, he says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Well, something sidetracked him. You know, I know for myself, okay, I carry that same hope within me that drives me, That's what drove us from Ohio here. Okay. We wouldn't be here unless it was the hope of Christ that drove us here. Well, Archippus had the same hope. But something distracted him. It's so easy in this world to get distracted, isn't it? And, you know, you take your eye off what we have in heaven, and things are coming at us, and we just kind of go, "Oh man," like that. And we just get, you know, just piled up with all these things, or we just forget what hope that we have in Christ. We forget about these promises. We don't think about them anymore. For whatever reason, we get sidetracked, and then we not doing, following through what God purposed us to do. There's many churches in this country who are very apathetic. They're dead, as Joey was saying. They're dead and dead, and they're dead spirit. they're not alive. There's no hope. They're the church. They have the greatest hope of all. The greatest hope and the message of that hope to spread to others. And they just sit there and go about their day. And they go back home after the service because it's just their lifestyle, something they do. But we don't have to be like that. We don't have to be. Archippus hopefully took this warning and started moving on it. We know later in Revelation they mention a church at Laodicea and that it was a lukewarm church. That means it was neither hot nor cold. Do you think Archippus was part of that? An ineffective church, an apathetic church that's not being driven by hope, the hope that we have in Christ. That's something we have to guard against. See, God requires his servants, and I'm talking us. We are servants, and I know a lot of people say, I'm not worthy of preaching the word or talking or teaching the word, or but you are, because the priesthood of all believers is for us, each one of us. Each one of us who receives Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells in you. If you got the Holy Spirit, you can certainly teach the word, because all you have to do is just open it up, start talking about it. It's the Holy Spirit moves it. It's the Holy Spirit that penetrates hearts. It's not us. It's his word. We all have it. You know, Randy comes up and he does a good job, you know, with the Sunday school, just teaching from the word, you know. But all of us can do that. All of us can open up our homes and be a somebody who shares the hope of Christ with others. And that teaching the word. For God requires his servants to be unhesitating, unquestioning, unconditional in obedience, diligent, and wholehearted. That's what he has us to do. So how do we nurture this hope? We talk about hope a lot, what it is, what it looks like, how it causes us to move forward, drives us on. Well, how do you nurture it? Because we know Archippus kind of lost it, right? So I'm going to give you a few things. You can take one or two or whatever. That's up to you. Excuse me. How do we nurture it? Well, one thing you do is abide in Christ and his word. So if you're not in his word daily, get into it, because that's where the promises are. You're looking for hope? Read the word. It's amazing how God speaks to us through that. Another one, be quiet, be still before the Lord. Hard for me to do, especially these days with all this stuff around. But, you know, sometimes they say, just take 30 seconds to look around. Look at the trees, look at the people, look at the flowers, just see these things and offer praise to God, the creator of all things. Take that time for yourself just to praise God, thank him for who he is and what he's done. Be quiet before him. Allow him to speak. Meditate on his word. Reflect on it. You know, as you read it, think about it. You know, some people like to memorize scriptures, take with them. throughout the day, and they can think about it. Some people are really good about memorizing songs and stuff, and they can take that with them too to encourage them with the hope that they have. Love. Show love. Hug your family. Maybe even longer than you have before. All right? Do acts of kindness. Smile. Those simple things show the hope that we have in Christ, especially these days, right? And have a determination to make a difference, because when we are driven, we are going to make a difference one way or another. There's driven people out there, and they might be making a negative difference, but we can go out and make a positive difference in our society, in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces. So we are called to do greater things. Christ has called. He said that we're going to do even greater things than these that he has done. We're called to do that. We're called to go forth with this hope, this message of hope, to bring it to others who are hopeless, or to remind people who have the hope, but they just kind of, their eyes are somewhere else. They don't take the time to think about the hope that they have in Christ. Remind them. That's what we do here. We remind one another, you know. Oh, yeah. God is, he did all this for us. So we already know the reward we have in Christ. It says here in 2 Timothy 2:12, it says this, "Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." And that day they're talking about is Christ's coming. All right? So not being ashamed, but because I know of whom I believe and am convinced that he is able to guard, to keep that up in heaven, that reward, what I've entrusted to him for that day when he comes. So the question for all of you and for myself is this: are you ready? Are you ready to go to the flagpole by yourself and stand firm in a faith, to be strong, to be courageous, to guard your hearts, to do everything in love? Let's pray. Lord Father, we come before you praising you again for your word. It is so wonderful, and a hope that we have in you, Lord, that is the driving force that causes us to go, to make disciples in your name. Father, that you'll just empower us by your Spirit, that you'll teach us and guide us, give us the courage that we need to go, whatever that looks like in our own lives, to go and be a blessing to others, to hold out the word of hope, the good news of hope to others who are hopeless, to see you do amazing things of rescuing them out of the dominion of darkness and have them come into your kingdom of light. Blessings, Lord, upon your word, blessings upon each one of us to carry out your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen.